Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Match Ball.
Hello, welcome to the show. Sorry for the slight delay in starting. If you're watching on the YouTube live stream, we've had some technical issues, some gremlins, yeah.
Which may continue. So
yeah, if they do, we're recording it. We'll upload it straight afterwards. Otherwise, let's plow on with the show brought to you by Levi Solicitors. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball for 10% discount on your legal fees if perhaps you want to sue a football club for the shit service they're providing for us. Imitation of a football club. Here we are again. It'll soon be over. That's the good side of things. Talk to me.
Well, the internet problems have been the best bit of the evening. So that was good. Yeah, we're terrible, aren't we? We have absolutely no plan. Exactly the same pattern as the Arsenal game. Being dominated, early goal, stupid red card. Just piss off.
Marsh felt the game plan was working. Despite going behind early on. So I think up to the red card is the thing. He feels the performances haven't been too bad when you take away aspects like the red card. So,
what about the aspects like our attack, which in which we have no shots?
I don't know.
We didn't have an attack, did we?
We had Rafinha at right wing back. I mean, you know, it's been a big complaint all season about square pegs, round holes. But even in our maddest moments, we never put our best attacking player in defence. And I feel, you know, there's other things. We actually, the red card gave us a moment's hope, because when Firpo came on and Cock went to right back, Rafinha up front, and I was like, right, now we can maybe do something in this game with 10 players, because the plan that somebody thinks is working very well is no longer part of this. But it didn't turn out that way. Obviously, it's 10 players.
The most damning thing I can say about this team across the last two games is that it makes absolutely no difference if we have a man sent off. You can't tell. Normally, if you have a man sent off, you can see a gap somewhere, but because everyone's just in the fucking middle of the pitch getting in each other's way, it's just one less person to be stood in the middle getting in everyone's way.
They just don't know what they're doing, do they? I mean, it's aggravating, because the words that keep coming up in the press conferences is going on the pitch with clarity, very clear. We've got to be clear about what they're doing, clear to the end of the season. We've got to have clarity. And I was watching Calvin Phillips running through midfield off the ball and running into the back of Dan James. And just thinking, that didn't used to happen. Like even this season, when it's been terrible, players were not running into each other. Mellier and Cock getting in each other's way, like who is claiming a ball in the penalty area. Just, they don't seem to have any clue anymore what they're supposed to be doing.
I don't know what to say anymore, because I feel like we're just going to say exactly the same stuff as we said last time.
We say we're going to beat Brighton and stay up anyway. Madder things have happened. And there's almost creativity in constraints. So if we've got no Dallas, we've got no Ayling.
No James, no Harrison, no James, no Rafinha.
No Harrison, no Rafinha. Like, it's almost, there'll be no choice in the next game. Shackleton, right back, because he's played right back and he's rapid. So he's born to play right wing back. I mean, he was messy in the under-16s, but he can do that. So it almost, like, the fewer idiotic decisions that have to get made, maybe the better, if we just get it down to just the last 11 players and just put them on the pitch and see what happens, and beat Brighton and we might still stay up.
Doesn't feel like we will, I have to say. If we play anything like we did tonight, we will lose those last two games. But that was
It looks like a squad that is completely cooked, doesn't it?
There's a mixture between James, who is obviously following the Marsh instruction of being really aggressive, doing a stupid tackle, which as soon as he did it, I said red card, and it obviously was. And there was Calvin's as well. I said that was a red card, I'll be honest.
When he, when was he, it?
I've not seen a replay of it, but when I wouldn't have been surprised if he'd been sent off. He was both feet off the ground. His contact was like with his calves almost. Yeah. Like he sort of scissored him, didn't he, in the middle.
It's not as bad on the replay, and it's kind of okay. Whereas James's was worse on the replay.
Yes.
But yeah, I was thinking Calvin's is going to go, and then who else? Well, take it in turns, lads.
Well, you got those two doing that sort of thing, and then you've got Rodrigo just jogging about the place. Like I was saying, mate was standing there saying he runs when he's pressing, like a player being substituted in the 80th minute when his team's winning. Just that sort of little jog. Here we go. Like the ref would actually say to him, "You need to hurry, mate. Come on, hurry it up, or I'm going to have to book you."
Tapping his watch,
and that's how he runs when he's pressing. Brilliant. Thank you for that.
Is actually a big worry, and it's been bugging me for a few games, and I don't know enough about coaching. I bow to your obviously expertise.
I'll tell you if you're right.
I think this might even be beyond you, but for what I've learned when I'm trying to study what Marsh's tactics are and pressing in general, it's like you don't press the ball, you press where the pass is going to go to, and you choose a player or some players who it's like when you see the right centre back is about to pass it to the left centre back, get to the left centre back as soon as the pass is done. And that's why he talks about how all the players have got to be a certain distance from the players that they're pressing so that they're ready on that trigger. You press them. And I've been trying to watch all the games recently and trying to work out who is our target, which player are we going to press when the ball is going to them. And I can't work it out. Normally it would be obvious. One thing is obvious, that we keep doing this thing of playing the ball down the line and trying to flick it inside to a midfielder.
What midfielders?
Exactly. So it never comes off, but we keep trying it. So it's like, I can read that. I can understand that. But I'm looking for who is the pressing target and I can't see it. And that's a bad sign because his whole thing is about pressing. And if it's not immediately obvious what that's supposed to be working, then things sort of start falling apart for him there before we even worry about going the other way.
Yeah. It's just, you could just watch the Arsenal match ball again, to be honest, if you wanted to.
But except we'd probably ended that a bit better than we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this game. Chelsea are a better team than Arsenal, though.
Yeah, isn't it a bit disheartening, though, to think, you know, when James got sent off, you're like, well, that's that one done. We'll just sit here now, watch the sun go down, and move on to Sunday. Hope we can get something from that, but we probably won't.
But equally, a bit like Arsenal, where you went, we won't get anything anyway. It's not like that's really ruined what was otherwise. I mean, Marsh seems to disagree. He seems to think it was going well. I did not think it was going well, and I don't think it's gone well for quite a while.
I don't even know what it is. Well, to be perfectly honest, I genuinely don't. And you know, the thing is, people say, "Oh, you need to get behind the manager and all that." And the subtext coming into that is always, "Well, you want Bielsa still." But it's like I knew what I was looking at when Bielsa was here, and I'm still waiting to find out what it is we've replaced him with. I still don't quite know. We've seen tiny flashes of it under certain circumstances, but we just get dicked these days, don't we? Against the top teams. There's no contest. I mean, like you look at the Chelsea game earlier in the season when we were unlucky to lose that.
People will point to the fact that, you know, we had the Liverpool, Man City, Spurs games in Bielsa's last little round of matches.
Don't know if you noticed, but we've lost to all those same clubs again.
Well, yeah. But people will say, well, we were losing to these teams anyway.
I'm not advocating for Bielsa being back. What I'm saying is I knew what I was looking at then, you know, from the day he walked in from that Stoke game, I was like, this is what we do now. They look like they really know what they're doing. I look at this and I think, okay, now what?
The last days of Bielsa were a plan that wasn't working or wasn't getting the results. Marsh, I don't know what the plan is.
We've not seen it work with Marsh yet, have we? So with Bielsa, you could see what we were trying to do, even if it wasn't working. Because we've not yet seen anything work under Marsh, we've had, unless you count like half an hour against Norwich or something. But look at Norwich, they're shit.
Yeah.
Norwich are fucking terrible. And so beating them 2-1 in the last minute, like, you could probably have put a bloody chimp in charge for that game and it would have been fine. Just get the players, just go out and just like beat them because they're fucking horrible.
I thought we started...
same with Watford.
Leicester game was all right and I thought we started well against Wolves, but Wolves and Norwich were both... We played well with Bamford on the pitch. Mm. So as like, cross your fingers and hope his feet are all right. He was walking around the West End tonight. He was on the gantry. I don't know if he was commentating. I hope for his sake, if he was, just like move the microphone away from him. Don't try to speak, Pat. But yeah, and I was going to say, because we talked about it last time, but you have that option of like, do you try to get back? Do you try to make the plan that the players are still playing to work? And you have a coach who's been to World Cups, who's managed in La Liga successfully, who's managed in the UEFA Cup, as it was in Europa League, and managed at the Olympics, won them, and all the experience, and he put it in place in the first place. And you say, well, let's trust that guy who got us here and got us into this mess and see, you know, who is the most qualified football coach we can find who might be able to solve this mess. And we decided to sack him and go with
the thing Jesse is, Marsh. Moscow, right? We're beating the same drum that, that you've beaten before. And the point is, they sacked him. He's gone. He's taken the fall for the results. Sorry, that he brought to the club. So he's taken his share of the responsibility. The problem now is what we do next, and we might still yet stay up.
Yeah.
But you see these performances week after week after week after week, with the players being ill-disciplined, the team is shapeless. What are they going
to
do?
Also, it's one of those things that you can be. It can have been the right thing to sack Bielsa, but you need to play. You need to have a relationship with someone who can get results. And yeah. I know Kinnear said in the program notes today, there's nothing you can do in 12 games, 12 weeks. Something
yes,
like that.
He said it was impossible. He said
12 games. I think
we all knew that the full tactical transition was impossible to complete in just 12 games. But our 5-game unbeaten run in 2 consecutive clean sheets gives us a foundation for build from. Our predicament has forced us to temper our offensive ambitions, but being courageous in attack is still a central part of our long-term footballing vision. I mean, I don't know why we're talking about a long-term footballing vision when we're 3 games away from getting relegated.
We've been here before as well, with admittedly in different circumstances, but they make a change at a point in the season that's fairly late. It's like when we sacked Grayson, and the justification for that was we can still get in the playoffs.
Mm.
And we
Warnock will take
brought Warnock in, and it got worse. And we Christensen, things were going bad, and things had fallen apart. Fully understand that. Brought Heckingbottom in, didn't really improve.
No.
And we're in that situation again, where you roll the dice, and then you make a duff appointment, and it doesn't work.
Maybe I'm risk averse. So people who weren't around back then who think I'm only like will do anything to bring Bielsa back, I wouldn't have sacked Christensen. I wanted Christensen to the end of the season, and the more I saw of Heckingbottom after, the more I wish, we could have just given it Tommy to the end of the season. But tonight looked like the end of Thomas Christensen, when we couldn't get through 20 minutes without a red card and we were just conceding goals left, right and centre, and the players were all over the place. And that wasn't a good sign. But yeah, I'm the kind of idiot, and I know I am a footballing dunce, I'm just a fan, but I would have stuck with Christensen no matter how bad it was.
Even now.
Yeah, just let De Bock get sent off as many times as he wants.
I mean, that's programme. That's meaningless bullshit, isn't it? It's total meaningless bullshit. Never mind long-term vision. Well, look at where we are. Look at what's happening.
Yeah, and it's not a question. I mean, he's saying that the only thing that's wrong with it is that, you know,
we can't attack. Well,
yeah, we've had to temper our offensive ambitions. Like, there's tempering your offensive ambitions is maybe, you know, having 5 shots instead of 10. We can't get out of our own half.
No.
There is no offensive ambition. Rafinha's playing right wing back. What is that's not tempering your offensive ambition. That's cancelling them and just hoping that by some grace we can beat Brighton, which I still think we will, and I still think we're staying up because it's a mad, mad world.
That keeper didn't make a save tonight, did he?
Why would he?
Let's stay up so we can come back and do that all again next season, where we get fucking dicked by all the top clubs. I mean, we're one of the only clubs to have never beaten all of the top 6 in all our 12 fixtures, I think, now. And or maybe all the ones who've done it previously have gone down.
Yeah, that's good.
And I don't know, there's that same old thing of, you know, putting on defenders and being defensive when you already won down. You might as well go forward and try and cause them some problems, aren't you, as not.
Well, Firpo
because what,
coming
the goal,
on.
The goal difference means absolutely nothing now.
Firpo coming on did mean we could move Rafinha forward. It was probably an attacking sub in that regard, like bring on a defender so that...
Thank God I can now play my best player in his right position.
Surely you should be doing everything you can to facilitate Rafinha in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they've got problems with, you know, people dropping like flies, but Christ, he's the most talented player we've had for, what did we say, 20 years we decided?
Yeah, probably.
Just build everything around him.
Put some respect on Robert Snodgrass's name. I mean, Jordan Bataka was a good player.
Just build everything.
Was playing
around
tonight, in fact. I still get goal alert when... it wasn't a goal alert, he got subbed off.
I thought of not Bataka, but Habibu tonight, actually. Mm. If we're going to drag up names from the past, watching Junior Firpo, he's got that Labrador with a balloon quality about him in the same way.
Kicking the ball about.
I think he should have got booked at one point as well. He did a really late tackle on someone, but the ref played advantage. I don't think he could be asked going back to book him. He just went,
Have you seen Luciano Becchio's words this evening? In bad times, I love you even more. White heart, yellow heart, blue heart. always leads. And he's
has he done his coaching badges?
He scored that. He gave us that lovely moment against Chelsea when they absolutely trounced us 5-1, didn't he? It was not. It was fun for a minute at least.
Talk to me about Dan James's red cards.
Yeah, at least we can call him.
It's one of the only things I've actually properly retained from that game.
An idiotic little scum bastard, we can call him. Yeah.
But I mean,
he was playing well before. I thought energy, running about, scampering, effort, and yeah, that's what I was about to say. Because we're talking about Rafinha being best player that's 20 years. I thought Rafinha's trying. Any sort of question of him, like kind of he's off to Barcelona and he don't care anymore. He's the only one where we got a free kick out wide, pleading with the other players. He's like, everybody just get in the box. Yeah. I can put in a good ball, get in the box, and I'm still doing this. And there was one point, so this actually goes on to just general disorganisation, but we came out in the second half. There was Rafinha came over to he was on the left wing, and he turned around, he tried to play a pass backwards, and it just went out of play. And so it was terrible. But then Marsh is looking at him, and and the conversation was, why are you here? Go back to the right wing. You're supposed to be over there. So I don't know under what world, who is actually managing the team? We've got Rafinha who's kind of saying, right, lads, get up for this set piece. And then he's just wandering over to play on the left wing, and Marsh is saying, why are you here? So that doesn't, and this is 2 minutes after half time as well. So we're absorbing whatever tactical plans and, you know, the half German, half sweary kind of team talk that he gave for, in the Liverpool dressing rooms, all that. This is not stand fucking friendship dinner. And then they're coming out, and Rafinha's just like, well, I think I fancy playing on the left for a bit. I know you're playing on the right. It's just that none of it feels organized.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And Phillips, the second goal is just, he turns around. I think he's looking for, because we talked about this last time. He's now, there's somebody else alongside him, Bate, who I thought struggled, but he's a kid, so fair enough. And he played well against Arsenal, and I was happy he started. But he's looking around going, that's got to be somebody else's man. There's nobody there. And he just stands and watch Pulisic score, because he's like, well, there's nothing I can do now.
Did you enjoy Diego Llorente treading on the ball and letting... three Chelsea players pour forward.
That was their third, wasn't it?
He had no options. And it's like Rodrigo as well. Rodrigo tired himself out tonight, beating four players and passing back to Melier. I don't know how many times that happened, but he's just got nowhere else to go. And I feel bad for Llorente on that goal, because I'm looking at him and he just can't find anyone to give the ball to. And there's no width.
I'd made a note of it in the 87th minute. Phillips had the ball and he did well, retained it well. And he was kind of running out towards our right-hand side. And in the end, he lost it because there's just no one there.
Yep.
He was just, everyone was waiting for more and more Chelsea players were arriving to take the ball off him. And eventually he was like...
It's not even
obviously, I'm just going to give it to him because there's no one to pass to it. Because no one is asked about actually getting in a position for him.
I mean, on Rodrigo as well, there were occasions when he'd take a first touch and then a second touch and then a third touch and then a fourth touch.
When he should have...
He'd lose it.
He should have released what's-his-face down the wing in the second half. Who was
our right back, Robin Koch?
No.
He was right wing in the second half.
Yeah, it was the other side. I'm trying to find it. He did, well, talk amongst yourselves while I try to find it.
Someone else.
Someone else. Get Jason Pearce back to play wing back.
Click was free, and if he'd played Click through, he was behind, but he just dawdled on it. But then 2 minutes later, he did play Firpo down the wing, and Firpo put in a really good cross. That one that Rafinha, he couldn't get over the header, but that was actually a beautiful cross. So we can do things.
I think that was our best chance of the game, was that one, according to the stats.
Was there a sarcastic cheer when we had that attempt on goal in the second half?
Yes.
There was a mixture of sarcastic cheers and legitimate cheers, the same as when they scored their second and third Leeds fans. It's become that thing now, we'll out-sing the opposition, even when they're scoring goals. But the other good chance was Joffe putting a beautiful cross from the other side. Mm. But unfortunately, it was Robin Koch who was playing centre forward at that point, and he just headed over because he did his best.
Man City have won 5-1 at Wolves tonight.
Well, they'll do that.
Good for them.
And then they'll have Erling Haaland.
So it just goes to show what a good result it was against them.
And Everton can't beat Watford reserves.
No.
That's interesting.
Mm. It does keep them in just within touching distance, doesn't it, with the game that they should have won, really.
And then Burnley, they're worried about whether Tarkowski's going to play. And even though every time I watch him play, he's scoring an own goal, apparently their other centre-halves are worse. So it's going to be Shane Long's a striker.
Whoever, Shane Lowry, then.
They've got a couple of lousy centre-backs to come, and then Vidra, karma for messing us about. And we signed Bamford when he's sitting in City Square pretending he was signing for Leeds so he could get his move to Burnley. He's done his...
Finally, those chickens come home to roost, Moscow.
Well, they have in a way, because he's done his cruciate, and he was supposed to be... His contract runs out in the summer, and he was going to leave Burnley and go to, like, he'll get some big payday. And not now. He's just going to send Burnley down because he can't play. Burnley are really worried. Burnley have got Spurs, Villa, who just beat them, and those are both away, and then they're at home to Newcastle. We've got Brighton and Brentford.
We just have to play better than that, though.
Yeah.
There's no way we can play like that.
Do we get a new manager in for Sunday? Eddie Gray's moment?
I don't honestly care if we do. We won't, and it would be stupid. But equally, if they said tonight he's sacked, I would go,
yeah,
fine. not really bothered. I don't think we'd be taking anything apart in sacking him, would we? It'd be the thing.
How many bad consecutive games? I shouldn't keep mentioning it. No, shouldn't. But how many bad consecutive games? But the problem is, I can't move on because every new thing that happens just makes it look dafter and dafter that we've done this. Instead of, you know, it's not a question of I'd rather have gone down with Bielsa. It's of I think we might have given ourselves a better chance, genuinely, because the players would still know what they were supposed to be doing, even if they couldn't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're not running around like headless chickens.
We have absolutely no idea what to do in possession.
Nope.
It's really alarming.
Can we just add as well about the Red Bull thing? It's SARD, isn't it? The German acronym. And the second bit is A. I can't remember what it stands for, but all in or something like that. And this is where I think maybe the red cards are maybe coming in, because the idea is that you go in proper hard and that seems to be causing one or two problems in the Premier League.
Mm. Well, he's saying so did we do this? That he said he thought the game was there for us when Dan James was sent off.
Was it? Yes. Were we not one down by that?
He says delusional Warnock-ism is that. That's what he always used to do. He'd pick on a referee's decision in a game you'd been absolutely shitting, and then go, well, that I think that's turned it for us, really. And you think, you're not watching the same bloody game as everyone else. Like, we were terrible until that point, and we were terrible after that point.
He says, I love these players. They fight to the end. We have to be aggressive against the ball, but we've been too aggressive, and the situation of the table has something to do with that. So that's where we are.
Too aggressive.
At least they didn't celebrate tonight.
Well, it's just a struggle, isn't it? It's a struggle.
You know, if the old transition, the tactical transition, couldn't have been done in 12 games, why did they do it?
Well,
because if the justification is defensive solidity, which is what Angus Kinnear seems to be saying, how many goals have we conceded since he's been in?
Or if it can't be done, I possibly accept it can't be completely done. So don't try to completely change it.
Mm.
Make tweaks to it. Don't completely tear it up and go, right, all the width we used to have none of that anymore, because that's what we've done.
It's a team with wingers in it. Like, we've got wingers everywhere. I mean, we could bring Pervada back, we could bring Costa back, Somerville. There's so many wingers here, and then we go completely narrow.
I mean, they're all injured now. Well, or yes. Suspended. So now we have...
Maybe that's part of the master plan.
So now we have no wingers. So
you're asking for wingers. You can't have them now.
They won't bother us anymore.
So we've conceded 5, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 goals so far in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games.
That is an improvement. But I mean, you have got to factor in the fact that there's... there have been games against Watford and Norwich.
Let's try and be fair to Jesse Marsh.
Will I be shot for saying that had we been marking man-to-man, Mason Mount would have just had a free shot on the edge of the penalty area.
Mm.
But I suppose there's also the things, as you say, there's a system not working. And I think the problem now is, even if we're not doing that kind of marking anymore, somebody has to be on Mount. Like, you can't just appear at the edge of our box.
He just kept dropping off, didn't he, into that little pocket of space.
And that's it. And so all the, you know...
And why didn't Dan James injure him?
All the evils
if you're going to get one, yeah, get a good one.
All the evils of our old style of play, but at least that would have been taken care of, because somebody would have been in his face the whole time.
Yeah, but then instead, Rudiger would have run through and scored.
Let's
try and be fair to Jesse Marsh then, because he's becoming the lightning rod for a lot of this criticism, it feels like. We were doing all right for 5 games, weren't we, before we faced Man City, Arsenal and Chelsea. Do we really expect anything out of these games?
No.
It's true. That's why I'm still will be Brighton. Something mad's going on. You'll just sort them all out, because professional pride in it. And he's got that. They've got that.
And the mad thing is as well, like when we played Brentford earlier in the season, they looked terrible.
Mm.
I mean, they had a bit of attacking threat, but they looked like one of the really weaker sides that we faced.
We were better than them for a large period of it. And then they had a sort of half hour, didn't they, and scored a couple and...
As long as we haven't spent like 3 years winding Brentford up. Even Ivan Tony's already tweeting about the Stuart Dallas Mind the Gap thing. I mean, the guy's broken his leg. I don't know what more Tony wants. And he hates Brentford anyway. So we really need Pontus just to do us a favour. Mm. Come on, lad.
Mm.
Don't do this to us. But, you know, it's just help. Somebody help. Can we put Pontus in charge?
How much further have we got in this season? We've got Sunday and then one Sunday after that. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
It's going to be a long week next week.
Not long. Not long to go.
You got the excitement of Thursday, though, haven't you, of course, of where we could see what happens there.
Maybe
confirmed safe, confirmed down.
The thing, we're being screwed a little bit on the fixtures, because Sunday, Burnley kick off at noon at Tottenham. So that's going to that will affect things, won't it? The mood.
Yeah.
No, it's good that that's early. I prefer that. I prefer knowing what we have to do.
Did you detect a note of mischief in the air tonight? In the crowd? I'm not talking like Guy Fawkes planting explosives in the Houses of Parliament mischief. I'm talking like within the crowd, that on being on the cusp of singing things.
I think it'll happen.
I think there's a little bit of Leeds on Leeds in the East Stand, you know, not actual fighting, but yeah, because for reasons I don't know, everybody suddenly stood up for the whole game against Man United, and it was the same tonight.
Mm.
Normally everyone sits down in the East.
Carry on.
No, I was just going to say, it was annoying some people, and some people won't sit down, because if they sat down, then they couldn't see, so they needed to see, and you know, the usual bollocks.
I will give Jesse Marsh some credit. I think it went under the radar a bit in his press conference yesterday, that when he was asked what he expected from the crowd, he said nothing. He said, I don't expect or demand anything other than what I've already seen.
Mm.
And that's the perfect answer. He at least has been wise enough, and maybe he's learned from kind of his like marching about at the end of the City game, which was just a bit weird. He's like, right, I don't actually need to ask the fans to do anything. Don't need to tell them to turn up, cheer a bus. Don't need to tell them to get behind the lads any more than they already have. Because I don't know how anybody could look at the Man City game, Arsenal away tonight as well, and think, oh, we really need to tell the fans to get behind the team. And Marsh, I was very happy to hear him say that he's not going to ask the fans to do anything. He's actually, you know, he said, I mean, it's not worked out, but he said, I'll promise to them that we're going to put a team on the pitch that is ready to go. So he's not saying the fans need to do anything. He's like, I'm going to make a promise to the fans. So he, you know, it's clear that me and him are chalk and cheese and he ain't my type.
At least he had the good sense, just to, when on the lap of appreciation after the game then, that he just, it was a more reserved, polite ripple of applause.
You didn't see him knee slide down the tunnel, though? No? Punch in the air.
Helicoptering. Getting little Jesse out. Yeah. As we keep saying, soon be dead.
Oh, God.
Us.
Oh, okay.
And I'll be over.
No, we're going to have many more years of long, happy life in the Premier League. And even if we're not, we'll have it in the Championship. You know, I've been there before.
Yeah, I've been there before.
Yeah.
It'll be all right.
So have I.
And we've all been there before.
If you've only hopped on for the Premier League part of this, and, you know, that can be because of your age or you just weren't aware of Leeds, if we go down, stick around.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just a good laugh, yeah.
Like, this, it's stupid. It's ridiculous. It's like this. This is very much Leeds. The last 3 years before this season feel like a glorious, happy delusion. And if you got involved for that, I mean, the first things that happened when I was a Leeds fan, I'm from Leeds, so that's why I started supporting them, but we won the title. It was like, great. And then it's not been like that for 30 years this week. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, stick around and just see how weird it can get.
Are we too nice to them at the end after a performance like that? Because I felt really quite pissed off with a number of them and the manager after that. And then everyone, they're getting like sort of cheered off the pitch and you think, well, does there come a point where it's better to give them a bollocking rather than cheer them? Because do they leave thinking, oh, well, they seem everyone seems happy enough with that?
I don't think that's the message they're taking from it. I think they're getting that this isn't good enough, but we are still supporting them despite it.
Mm.
They can't be that.
I hope they realise.
I think they realise.
Did you notice a number of fan accounts all tweeting very similar words out earlier on, that they'd heard a rumour about the bus going down Lowfields Road at 5:30?
Mm.
It's almost like somebody was like telling them to mention to people so yes. People will come down. Have you noticed, like, when we do shit, like we hold up big silly cards or we all wear t-shirts or we're encouraged to go clap the bus down a road, that it never works?
Mm.
I think maybe what they should maybe try on Sunday is doing nothing and leaving us alone.
That's where I was giving Jesse Marsh the credit, really. It's you know, he's doing a lot to rub me up the wrong way, particularly relegating us. But if he's managed to learn
that's the top of the list, is it?
That's the top of the list.
It's quite high up there.
The Gandhi thing, actually, I wrote about that after his press conference. And that's fine. Like, people use motivational quotes. Yeah. It's probably didn't deserve all the attention that it's got.
Yeah, but we're trying to do set pieces. Stop using him now.
So there's all that, but if he's learned in the 2 months that he's been here or whatever, that that we don't need to be told, that he doesn't need to ask for support, he doesn't expect anything more from the fans than we've already given, I think it's a really good way of putting it, then people who've been here a lot longer should know. But somehow they just don't trust. Well, this is it. They don't trust us. And it's kind of, it comes down to...
They don't understand us, do they?
Don't understand. And I think you'll rip my face off for taking it back to this, but did they trust and understand the best manager they ever had either? It always comes back to this thing of just like the panic, they lose faith in what they're doing, and then they do something stupid. So, you know, it's the same thing. It's like they just, oh no. I mean, I don't know how you came. I don't know how you come out of the Man City game and you think, oh, we'd better put on something for the fans to make sure they support us in the next game. It's a complete lack of faith and understanding in what is happening around you. And the best thing we have now is the support of the fans. It's the one thing that is standing up game after game after game. It's astonishing that that is still happening.
When they quite frankly don't deserve it, some of them.
Exactly. And then so how they're then thinking, oh, well, we better do something to make that happen. It's that kind of thinking you have to interfere in, having a lack of faith in the people who know better. Mm-hmm. And honestly, and you can say this about absolutely any football club in the world, that the fans know better, know its history, know its culture better than the people who happen to buy it. And they need to understand the kind of the limits of the decisions that they can make and the influence that they can have. And it's often, I feel like that's kind of her.
I feel like some of the stuff that they do is, I don't know who drives it. I'm guessing Radrizzani, just because of the way he is. I feel like sometimes he sees things, other people do things and thinks, oh, well, I want to do that. So like I've seen other clubs do like the big thing in the stand with the word, and
yeah.
I've seen other
we need
fans,
to stand out, we need to be different.
I've seen other fans doing the thing outside the ground greeting the coach. Let's do that. Let's force that. Oh, I've seen NFTs. Juventus have done an NFT. Why aren't we doing NFTs? Let's do one of them.
Yeah.
Let's have a rebrand.
Do you know what they should try doing? Putting together a good fucking football team. Yeah. Do that first and we'll worry about the rest.
If anybody needed instructions this week, it's not the fans to sing and clap and shout and cheer. It's the coach to play with width. Please just put some...
They could put that on the east stand.
Width.
Width.
We've got to leave it there. That's perfect.
I want to see the word girth on the East Stand.
Say no more. For say Brighton. No more. Right, apologies if you did try and watch the live stream tonight as well. We just the internet has been an absolute dog, so we've recorded it, we'll upload it. Hopefully you're watching it, listening to it, and we'll be back. What day is it now? Oh, bloody hell, Phil Hay with his showbiz demands wants us back in here at 9:30.
Oh my god,
to record the Phil Hay show tomorrow morning.
I hope you're going to rewatch that game as homework.
No, what we'll do is we'll go Phil,
we're gonna write about it.
Phil, talk to us about that game. And go put the kettle on for a bit. Right, yeah, thank you for joining us on the Match Ball, and we'll do it again on Sunday, shall we?
Yeah, we'll make sure that the internet works live for our post-Brighton and we've won, Burnley have lost, Leeds are staying up. That's Sunday.
The party, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
The
party. And everybody, whatever deity you choose to believe in, just make Sunday morning the day that you ask them.
Yeah, come and join the party.
Favors.
And we'll speak to you then. Thank you.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.